Welcome back, Pods fans, to another episode of Ring the Bell Pods Talk. Nick Kreider here, joined by the three-time All-Star, Heath Bell. Before the show, Heath and I were just talking about his men's league softball team, or not softball team. I'm on the softball team, baseball team that he's on. And he's putting together some pretty good at-bats, getting able to swing the lumber a little bit.
Yeah, I joined a men's league 30 and older. I just met him at a batting cage. I was coaching my kids like last summer, and I kind of downplayed who I was, and I just said I was a dad, but I played some men's leagues, and you know, everybody really liked me. I'm a third baseman, first baseman, completely outfield. I can pretty much play anywhere. I'm not going to catch, but really people liked me because I could pitch. I could throw strikes, and everybody needs pitchers. So it's funny because last winter, this guy asked me to come out there, and he found out who I was, and I told him not to tell anybody the day of the game. And I went like, I don't know, 3 for 3 with 3 doubles and played first and picked a bunch of balls. And then I pitched the last 4 innings and literally struck everybody out that I faced. And then I joined this summer and I said, yeah, I'll when I can show up, because my kid's a senior, so I'm not going to always show up. So anyway, this past Sunday, my son's baseball team wanted me to throw batting practice. So I threw batting practice for Georgetown High, about probably 2 hours of throwing BP. And, you know, flipping some curveballs in, fastball, changeup, curveball, just as what the kids wanted so they could see different pitches. And then I had about an hour, and because the men's league was actually playing in Georgetown too, because most of the time it's in Austin, so it's a drive for me. And I got there, and they're like, can you start? And I'm like, I can only be here for like an hour because then I got to go bowl with my wife. And so I was already sore, and I didn't even warm up. I threw 4 pitches. Playing catch. And I'm like, I'm done. All right.
Yep.
And then I went out there and played pitched four innings, struck out 10, and went 2 for 2 with us, 2 both singles. And then I went and bowled in the 190s, like 205 range. It wasn't my best bowling because usually I bowl in the mid to 200s.
That's a solid day in the yard.
Yeah, I was exhausted at the end of the day.
Sure. You love
the hustle. Not as exhausted as the Padres going to Cincinnati and sweeping the Reds that we definitely needed.
We have swept the Reds in the season series. This is the first time it's ever happened in our history. And the teams have been playing each other for a very long time, since the beginning of the Padres' start of their franchise. And we go out and take care of business. We talked about it on the previous show that we need to go out and win at least 7 games on this 8-game road trip.
Well, right? At least 6. We at really least... need to be 7-1 if we want to make the playoffs and do something.
Right.
To be respectable, 6-2. But
so it's a great start.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. I'm talking about the Reds really quick, how bad Votto is playing right now. I mean, he's not even hitting over 130. He's batting 129.
Yeah, it's tough. That age is catching up to him. And also, of course, I imagine it's probably hard to stay motivated at that age when they've shipped off all their good players. You know, Castellanos signed with the Phillies and Winker got traded to the Mariners, and, you know, they trade Sonny Gray away as well. I mean, it's just not a great situation when you're the vet that's stuck it through and the team just decides to blow it all up and you're stuck there in your late 30s.
Yeah, maybe he could sit there for a couple more years and like Zimmerman did in Washington. Right at the very end, maybe make a run in the playoffs. Definitely not this year, but maybe next year, the year after that. But
the Reds may end up being the worst team in all of baseball. So I can't really tell if this is a good season or a series sweep by the Padres, or if this is just the Reds.
It's a good one because we would be horrible if we didn't sweep.
It also gets the guys
be taken seriously.
It gives the hitters more confidence, gives the pitchers more confidence. Mackenzie Gore looked awesome, struck out 10.
It's gonna win over 15 games this year. He could have done it last year, but we didn't bring him up. But hey, you know who? I know all of our Padre fans, you know, our famous first baseman that everybody loves to hate, Hosmer, is hitting over 400, crushing the ball. He's like, I've been telling you this for a while. If you look up his stats in Kansas City, he's around 300 roughly here and there. But when he had his best years is when Kansas City did something special, them going to the World Series, them winning. You know, it's early in the season. I hope that's the case, but he's doing really well. Profar is you know, Profar is one of those guys. If you look back, he's had some big games and he's won us some games. He's only batting 210, but when he hits, he wins us the game.
Well, he's got five home runs right now leading the team. And he's also got a cannon for arm all of a sudden this year. He's got the most outfield assists in baseball. I mean, he's throwing out guys left and right.
Yeah. It's like I said, when he does well, it's like when nobody's doing well and he singly will hand us, win us a game. Profar, give him kudos for that one, but he does it like once or twice a week. But then the other 5 days of the week, he's crickets. He's silent.
Yeah.
But, hey, man,
our team leaders are the ones that are producing right now. Eric Hosmer, Manny Machado. It's a 2-horse race for NL player of the month. It's going to be one of those guys. I mean, they're both, I mean, Hosmer's hitting over 400. Manny's almost hitting 400. It's pretty nice to have that duo finally clicking and running on all cylinders at the same time. Just can imagine what it's going to be like when Tatis gets back and when Cronenworth gets back in shape as well.
Yeah, and then Will Myers, if he can start hitting, Grissom can start hitting. I mean, if those guys can just hit 100 points higher, I mean, Cronenworth is going to hit 280, 300. And he's just that type of guy.
Right.
Grissom is same thing. He's 260, 280. I mean, right now he's 140. So, I mean, just 100 points higher. Nobody's going to be like, whoa, he's crushing the ball. But we will, because we know he's going to be hitting where he's supposed to be hitting.
Yep.
Then Tatis Jr., when he comes back, he's going to be hitting 300-something.
Yeah, hopefully.
And right now, Kim is doing a pretty good job at, you know, batting 250. He got 3 hits today.
Well, with Kim, he's got to play every day at this point.
Yeah.
You got to give him every day at bats. CJ, I've seen enough. Send him down, work on the development. With Grisham, he's hitting leadoff so often. I would like to see him go down the order. You mentioned that guys, you know, see more fastballs when they're down there. They don't get the same style of pitches. Grisham is struggling really hard right now.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If you're a pitcher, how many times do you hear this at Little League Fields or some? It's like, hey, it's 7, 8, 9. You know, it's the last guys in the order. Just throw strikes. They'll get themselves out. So basically, you're going to throw a lot of fastballs. Your leadoff guy is usually your fast guy. You want to keep him off, you know, then your 2-hole can pretty much do everything. And then your 3, 4, 5 is kind of your power guys. So you're going to be a little bit more cautious. You're going to be throwing some breaking balls, some off speed. So just move him down to this 6, 7, you know, just for like a game or two, just for like a series. You know, I agree with you with CJ, great talent, but if he's not going to play every day, like I think he kind of was a little bit, but this is a big sample size for like the first month of the season. Mm-hmm. We gotta send him down and get him developed. We don't need him here. Kim has been holding his own. He's not Tatis. He's not batting 300, but he's holding his own. He's doing a great job. He's batting 250. That's what we need. So you just let him play every day. He's the veteran. He's the professional. He's going out there. CJ could possibly be the future. Stick him in the outfield in the minors. You know, Profar is doing a heck of a job right now out there, but get CJ some at bats, get him swinging the bat. Like we all know he can. But he's got to go down to the minors to do that. He can't do that here.
Yeah. So without a doubt, I agree. We just brought up Trace Thompson as well, the brother of Clay Thompson, who is playing in the playoffs right now for Golden State. He had 9 home runs in El Paso. Will Myers hits the IL, 10-day IL. Austin Adams hits the 60-day IL. He's going to end up needing surgery, unfortunately. But Trace Thompson, I want to see him get some at-bats, because you bring up a guy who is hot right now and he's sat the last 2 days. I understand that he was on the taxi squad the first day, but I feel like he should have been in the lineup against that last
game. I don't understand. See, that's where I don't understand. The best managers I've ever played for or played against, like Bobby Cox, you know, I'm going to say the guys that I've played against, Joe Torre, Tony La Russa, when a guy gets called up and he's hot, he comes in the game right away. It's right. Like, you're hot. I'm not going to be like, let's just sit the bench, learn what it's like to be in the big leagues. No, you're hot. We brought you up for a reason. Go hit. Go play.
So the one thing I will say, though, and I don't really think it really made a difference, but they started Matt Beaty today in right field because it was his birthday and he was a lefty facing a righty. So that could be a little bit there. I mean, you have mentioned in the past that there are certain managers that always play guys on their birthdays, right?
I think it was good. I just, you know, he's the type where he's not even hitting 100 anymore. And that was not a good trade.
Yeah, no, it didn't make a ton of sense, honestly. I mean, we could launch Beattie to the moon at this point and it wouldn't make a difference.
And all the trades we made, except for
Mania trade,
all the defensive trades, hitting offensive trades have not worked.
Right.
You know,
pitching trades have been
coming good. Into spring training. We knew in spring training there wasn't a lot of positions to be won. And like I said, going back, when you know that you're the shortstop, when you know you're the bench guy for the outfield, I'm the platoon guy, I'm the backup catcher. When you have your roles, I feel like you even perform better. It's almost like, say, Kim is doing better than he did last year because he's an everyday kind of guy. Yeah. Came over here last year, was a part-time guy, you know, bench player we need once in a while. Didn't know how to handle that. Now he's playing more regular. He's doing basically what we all thought he would do last year. And he understands he's not the face. He's not Tatis Jr. But he's here to bridge the gap and he's doing a great job doing it. And that's where I don't understand sometimes. I mean, maybe it's the analytics that people are talking and maybe I just don't understand the analytics that, we got to bring a guy up and we got to wash his hands before we can put him in the pool. I don't know. It's just some of the things just don't make sense to me. I really don't.
Let me ask you, we're probably going to end up sending CJ down. I hope so. But let's just say Kim continues to swing a hot bat. He's an everyday player. He gets his average up over 250, 260, whatever. He's playing good baseball and he's hitting home runs and he's playing good defense. And Tatis comes back healthy. What do we do in that situation?
Well, we have a DH now.
We do have a DH, but I mean,
right now our team's not as a team hitting great. So you keep him there and you play Tatis a game or two. You put him in there for, Tatis, you're going to have him at short. You want him at short. And then you just put Kim as a DH. I mean, who really do you need a DH to hit home runs? Traditionally, yes. But our team doesn't need that. We just need somebody to get on base. So we DH him. That's what you do. You put the best – by the time Tatis comes back, you put the best hitters in the lineup, barring their positions. You know, if we have one guy that's hot, but somebody's coming back taking his spot, I mean, Tatis should come back probably for like a game or two, or three games and sit, four games and sit, just to kind of get him there, unless he's just on fire right away.
Right.
That's kind of what you do early in the season and spring training and whatnot. So –
yeah, I like the idea of getting Kim as like the as a DH, but also being the guy to give Tatis, Machado, and Cronenworth a day off when they need it. Not a day off in the sense of sitting him on the bench, but when Machado DHs, Kim goes to third. When Tatis DHs, he goes to short. When Cronenworth DHs, he goes to second.
And then keep Kim in the lineup
that's
DH infield. When those guys are playing.
And that's your infield.
But here's the thing. Okay, so All this new numbers BS and bullshit. I'll just say bullshit. We're on a podcast. Used to talking to radio where you can't talk like that.
Speak from the heart.
Anyway, all these cybermetric numbers, blah blah blah. You know, it trickles down, and they say Joe Madden has done this in the big leagues. So in high school now, what they're doing, some high schools are doing, and some colleges are doing, is they're finding nine guys to hit. They're putting their best hitters out there and they're finding positions. The only position you really can't do that to is catching because it's kind of unique. You're squatting a lot, but really they're finding the best guys. And if we're listening to the numbers, because here's the thing, the Padres are doing really well. We're a half game out. You know, we're kind of right where we need to be, but our batting averages look like, they look like a last place team, you know, 140, 190. Then we have, you know, almost 400. 210, then 415, then 90, then 230, 220, 140, 250, 190, 210. So it's kind of like we don't look that good, but what I love about the Padres right now, and if you really think about it, all the teams right now are not doing this. The Padres are not looking for one or two guys to win the game every day. You know, you could easily say Eric Hosmer, Machado are kind of doing the majority of the work, but Profar's had about three games this year that he's pretty much won with his arm and bat pretty much the same time. Cronenworth has come up with a big RBI a few times, scored some runs. So it's one of those things that we need to put the best hitters out there. mm-hmm. and find the positions. And if we have to move like CJ Abram, I think we move him down. This is not a knock from him. This is happens to a lot of guys. It happened to me numerous times. You go down there because there's not enough playing time up here, or you just need to go down there and you just need to get your reps. You're going to go down there. We're going to lead you off. You're going to get four bats every single game. As soon as you feel comfortable again, we're going to bring your butt right back here. So, but here's the thing. As a management, what you need to do is, CJ, go down there, and after 2 weeks, we're going to reevaluate you. You start crushing the ball like we know you can. We're bringing you back. And then you bring it back. You know, and then it's kind of this back and forth, but you have to tell the guy what exactly you're going to do, and then don't beat around Bush. Okay. He goes down there and he hits 300. Bring his ass back here. You know, don't just, okay, well, we haven't had time, or we're winning games. We don't want to mess things up. Bring him back here. Use him. It's like, if you could easily send him down there for 2 weeks, he's hitting 300, 3 weeks, whatever it is. You're not ready to bring him up. You make a phone call, or you have the GM call him and say, look, we want you to not play short. We want you to play left field, center field, right field, whichever it is.
Right.
And then we'll give you a call in a week. Or, you know, we just want to make sure that you feel comfortable in the outfield and hitting. You can do that. That will push guys. You'll trust you a little bit longer. If you keep doing that over like a 2 month period, then people are going to catch on and you're basically lying to them or BSing them. But that's a way to give you an extra 2 weeks, mm-hmm. you know,
buy some time,
find a spot in the big leagues for a guy or this and that. Same thing with pitching, you know, Gore, I'm telling you, he's going to win 15 games. I think his top is he might win 17 games this year. I could go as far as he could win 20 games this year, but
well, let me ask you, who's the odd man out in the rotation when Clevinger and Snell come back?
Who's the odd man out?
Well, I mean, you can't start. Honestly, guys.
I don't know who, but you know, it's honestly the real answer is who's got options, and that's going to be Gore. But do you want to play for the future or do you want to win now? I don't know. See, the pitching rotation is something really hard because I'm not a starter. I'm a reliever. I could tell you about a bunch of stuff like that, but I will tell you, even if Gore is dominating, you send him down. It's kind of disappointing. You're like, dude, I did everything I'm supposed to, but he understands, but you got to bring him back. He has to be the first one back if you're going to bring him back.
For sure.
But I have a feeling there, you know, if they have a doubleheader, you got to bring him and he's got to pitch it. You can't use a bullpen guy. You can't.
Right.
If you have a long guy that's terrible, maybe you bring him up. But I don't particularly like starters to go to the bullpen. I really don't like that. So if you're the guy with options, you got to get sent down. Numerous times I've been sent down because of options, because we need another starter or we need another position player. And I was dumb luck. I'm the only options with the New York Mets at the time when I was a rookie. But if you guys move somebody from starting role to the bullpen, it has to be a veteran guy that's willing to do it. That's on a 1 year contract.
Right.
But then you got to send a bullpen guy down. That's where the GM gets, that's my phone ringing, but that's where the GM literally gets paid, because who's got options, who's got contracts, who are we going to release, what's the deal? But you're also trying to win and win for the long period of time. So Gore right now has three options. So options are, it's one per year. So, but you have to understand, you can go up and down 11 times 1 year. I did that. You can go up and down as many times as you want. 1 year, I did seven. Wait, my first year, I went once. That's when I was rookie. And then the next year, I went seven. And another year, I went 11.
That is exhausting.
Yeah, they basically said it was the Heath Bell was a train. Even when I got traded to San Diego, the next couple of years, if you listen to the Mets announcers, he's on the Heath Bell train, you know, going up and down from the minors. I mean, it used to be under called my name. And it's a bad thing to have said that name after you, but it's one of those things. So the next 3 years, he can go up and down as many times as the Padres need, but you can't frustrate the heck out of him where he doesn't pitch well. But here's the other way is you can, okay, say Gore pitches Monday. His mm-hmm. next start day is Saturday. You send him down. Then you have your other guys come start, and then you might have him come back up or whatnot, but there's also different rules. You know, sometimes you got to get set, you have to be down for 10 days. Some it's 2 weeks. It's been changing for the last couple of years.
Yeah. I think for me, there's gotta be two guys that move out of the rotation when Snell, cause you can't have Snell be a reliever. You can't have Clemens.
Snell's not going to be a reliever and Clemens is not going to be a reliever.
Right. So I'm thinking maybe Nick Martinez maybe slides into the long reliever position, you know, in the bullpen. And then maybe
and who in the bullpen is going to get sent down?
I mean, Austin Adams just went on the IL.
No, I gotcha. But we got to move two starters. And honestly, I hate to say this, but you Darvish, the second half, you might just have to cut your losses and say, hey, because he's not really a second half pitcher. He's more of a first half pitcher.
Yeah, maybe trade him.
You trade him or you release him. Say, hey, cut our losses. Go for it.
I don't know if we can necessarily release him, but
people have done it in the past. It's just one of those things. Or you just trade him in 2 months. In June, you just trade him for a couple minor leaguers. And you're just doing it because you have too many starters. But then we're going to get back to the thing. Do we not have enough starters?
Right.
You know, people get hurt, this and that. So that's the juggling act you got to do. But you also have to bring your young talent. And you can't just have veteran guys that are doing mediocre work. And you have a young talent like, a young Jake Peavy. That's basically what I'm saying. Mackenzie Gore is that just, you know, could win a young or, you know, win almost every game. But we're going to put him down the minors because, you know, we don't want to pay these guys. So then at the end of the day, you're not trying to win a championship. You're just trying to, you know, entertain the fans.
Yeah. All interesting stuff. We'll see what unfolds. I want to talk really quickly because we talked before the show about the brawl that ensued the Cardinals and the Mets. Nolan Arenado charged the mound after getting hit by a pitch. Not the first time that's happened before against San Diego when he was with Colorado when Luis Perdomo threw at him. What are your thoughts here on charging the mound? Have you ever been a part of a brawl?
I've been part of many brawls, the Mike Piazza brawl and stuff like that. And that's probably the most memorable. Chris Young and Derek Lee brawl in Chicago with the Cubs, us and the, that's, you know, if we got video, I could totally show you this because like, Chris Young didn't back down, you know, hit him on a changeup or something like that or a breaking ball. It was, you know, okay, fans really quick. If you ever see a pitch under 90 miles an hour, unless it's Greg Maddux or somebody that throws knuckleballs and hits somebody, that's called a changeup or a breaking ball, like a slider or a curveball, some spins. Even though I've seen it happen where somebody gets hit in the face because of that, whatnot, hitters don't back out and they're taught not to because they're trying to stay there until the last minute because balls move wicked a lot and late now. But no pitcher is ever trying to hit somebody. One in the head, but you could probably test and say there's been one or two. But really with a breaking ball, a changeup, a curveball, a slider, anything but a fastball. If you're going to get hit on purpose, it's a fastball.
Right.
And I will say the Mets have been hit more than anybody right now in history and beginning of baseball. But I watched it the other day and they had something on TV and it was literally, I think about 70% of the time, they're all off speed pitches. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. Hitters have those elbow guards that they, and if you look, there's like four times I saw, he kind of threw his elbow at it, like not going to get out of the way and it hit him. So take the elbow guards away or whatnot. And batters will get out of the way. But I will say that pitchers nowadays rear back and it's all about the spin rotation. It's all about how hard I can throw. Guys nowadays are not being called up because they're throwing inside and outside, and this guy's just totally filthy. It's this guy has a nasty slider and he throws 97 miles an hour. They're not asking the question they did 15 years ago. Can he get anybody out? Is he getting anybody out? It's all about, well, this hitter can't hit anything above 95 mile an hour, so we're just going to throw this guy. And, you know, occasionally the ball gets away from people.
Yeah.
And then again, you're going to make that aspect. Some guys are going to say, well, I can't put sunscreen. I can't do this on my hand. So I can't grip the ball or, and I call that a bunch of bullshit because you were a thrower. You were never a pitcher in the day. So let me get back to the brawl or whatnot. So I've never actually had anybody charge me. I wanted people to charge me. That was probably that was a little mystique. I always wanted to see, what was I going to do? My wife thought I was nuts, but she's like, well, you want to beat somebody up? And I was like, no, I actually want to see what I would do. Would I just stand there? Would I laugh? Would I run? Would I charge him? I was kind of curious. I always thought I would stand there and charge him. But anyway, but the brawl, I just think the Mets have been hit so many times and they're so frustrated, and that Cincinnati or St. Louis, they're not going to back down from a fight. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Mets, they've been hit so much, but not all of them. They've been, like I said, a lot of them were sliders, curveballs, changeups, throwing your elbow out there, hitting the elbow guard. I mean, yes, yeah. Some there's been three or four at the face, and I'm not denying those are scary moments because it could ruin somebody's career. But at the end of the day, nobody was trying to hit you in your head. Nobody's trying to hit you in your face. I mean, at the end, they're young, they're pitchers that are throwers, and they're not pitchers anymore. So I like the brawl. I like the emotion from, I mean, I like it. I miss, you know what I really, really miss? I miss umpires getting in. I mean, coaches getting umpires' faces. That's what
I don't see that very often anymore. Honestly, I've always wanted them to mic up coaches when they would charge the umpires.
Or at least mic up umpires. Yeah. You know? But So one of my brawl stories is, so Chris Young is facing Derek Lee, hits him on like 0-2 curveball or something like that. Lee is talking smack, and Chris Young, you know, he's 7 foot, you know, 12 or something. The guy's huge, should have played basketball. Just is like, go ahead, whatever. Right. So then they start jarring, and it's funny because then all of a sudden somebody comes out of the dugout, and then Derek Lee gets behind his own player in Chicago and then starts pushing him and really going after Chris Young. Oh, wait, now. Okay. So this is what happened. They jarred. They actually threw punches at each other.
Yeah.
They both missed. But then somebody grabbed Derek Lee, and then Derek Lee started pointing fingers and started really going after him. It was almost like he was waiting for somebody to kind of get in front of him, but he did. They both did swing and miss. So anyway, I'm running from the bullpen. So any bullpen knows this. You sprint out there. You run as fast as you possibly can. You feel like you're going to fall because you're trying to get there. And you're trying to help your team out or go beat some shit. Some of you don't like. So I'm out there and I'm just like, I'm running and I'm trying to get in the mix because Chris Young's a good friend of mine. And I'm like, I'm going after him. And also Derek Lee hit a home run off me when I was a Met. And it was on ESPN, like the beginning of SportsCenter. And I had to watch it. Like, it was like an 05. It was like my first full year in the big leagues. And I was like, I couldn't watch opening of ESPN because I'd watch the home run every commercial. Anyway, somebody grabs me and I grab my left arm, like I'm getting ready to punch, you know, cause I'm like, somebody just grabbed me and yanked me. And I go to like turn to swing, and it's Cliff Floyd, an ex teammate of mine, you know, back in the Mets days. And he just grabs me and goes, dude, let's hug it out. Cause I don't need to get hurt. I don't need to get hurt. And I'm like, yeah, but they're over there. And like, dude, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. So we kind of like pretend wrestled right there. But it was like, I started laughing. He was always a funny guy. But
that is awesome.
I started laughing at him. I'm like, I got to go over here, man. He's like, no, man, you wouldn't let me go. He's like, no, we got to act like we're doing our own thing here. Cause I don't need to get hurt anymore. My knees are killing me.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny.
It was hilarious. It was,
yeah, I remember
brawl story, a lot of brawl stories have stories like that.
That's awesome. There's a really great picture that someone caught of Chris Young just throwing a punch and like not connecting. It seems like most baseball brawls, no one connects on their punches besides Rogan and Odor on Jose Bautista. That's the only one that I've seen that's really connected. And maybe Nolan Ryan when he's got the guy in the headlock.
Yeah. So Nolan Ryan, I heard about that. Ventura charged him, and I was teammates once, and I asked him, I said, hey, what went on? And he kind of said, well, you know, there was bad blood back and forth. And then I said, so what were you thinking, you know, going after somebody like that? And he literally said, well, I was going after it. And then all of a sudden I realized I'm like charging Nolan Ryan. Like, what am I doing? And he goes, next minute I know I'm in a headlock, getting my ass whooped. So that's why, like, he ran out there and you see him kind of slow down.
Yeah.
And then Nolan just like, whoop, boom, boom, boom. And you just see him like, just take it. And cause he goes, there was just like, what am I doing? This is a legend. This is, you know, and like all of a sudden it was like, I'm getting hit. It's just like,
yeah,
this is not right. And I don't know. It was great times.
Good. Yeah. Times. Nolan Ryan actually spoke at a Georgetown. I think it was like a banquet for our baseball team. when I was a sophomore. And I think someone asked him a question about that. And I think Nolan was just like, if you charge me, that's what you're going to get.
That sounds like Nolan. I've met him a couple times. It's like, shit, if you're going to charge me, I'm just going to hit you. You're going to fall. You're not going to win. I got a ball in my hands. You're not going to win. If you come onto my mound, you're not going to win. And those are the guys that I wanted to be. I wanted to be that badass kind of guy on the mound. That's another reason I wanted people to charge me and I missed it. Maybe this 30 and older, somebody will charge me.
I was about to say, I mean, maybe you'll get your brawl wish one day in this 30 and over league. I mean,
it's funny. There was this play at third base this last guy at first, ball hit to the outfield, two outs. He rounded, he slid in. He was totally there at third base. The umpire called him out. But the umpire called him out because the third baseman, you can do this. You can lay your leg down and basically block the bag, catch the ball, and then tag him. I mean, you can do that, but you're not going to do that with, the big leagues, because metal spikes, they're going to hurt. It's a lot of, 30 and older, we're not running as fast. So he was up there and kind of like, complaining, come on, I was there, blah, blah. So I just ran out of the dugout. And I had my glove with me too, because it was three outs. I'm getting ready to pitch. I go, what are you doing, Blue? Can't believe whatever, this and that. I'm like, you go get over here. And he just kind of looks at me, because I was joking with him the inning before on the mound. And I literally just went, no, I just was trying to get the inning to start, man. And I just go, I just wanted to yell at you to yell at you. And he just looked at me and goes, you're kind of an idiot. And I go, yeah, I know. and then he goes, no, you can do that play. And I go, I don't care. I really don't. He's out, man. I'm not going to come argue. I just literally ran out here so he wouldn't yell at you. I was actually doing it that. And then it was funny. We were having talks and in between innings, because I throw like two pitches and I'm like down to second. He's like, you're right. And I'm like, dude, I just threw batting practice for 2.5 hours to my kid's high school team. My arm's sore. I'm not going to throw any. I'm not going to warm up and throw eight pitches so I can throw like 15 this inning. So good times.
I have a hypothetical bet going with my other co-host on the Cherry Stripe, the other podcast that I host with Josh Fisher. And we've always had this argument that if I were to step up in the batter's box in a major league against a major league pitcher, I wouldn't put the ball in play in 100 swings.
I got a feeling you'd shit your pants.
100 swings. I can't put the ball in play.
I'm pretty sure you would, you'd make contact. I don't know. I would say you'd make contact. So the percentages you get in there, but like, let's just say when I was pitching, if I threw you a curveball or threw you a slider, you'd jump out of the way. If I threw a fastball inside that we watched the videotape, it was probably not near you. You'd be like, there, you almost hit me. I'm like, no, I didn't. Just like when I threw bullpens, sometimes I might have my wife stand in, or my mom early on in college, they'd be in the back of the batter's box and I'd throw a fastball way over the plate and they'd be like, you almost hit me. And that was just a fastball ball that was straight. So, I don't know. Sometime this summer, you and I will meet up. And
well, that's what I was getting at here.
I'm not throwing that hard anymore. I'm probably throwing mid 80s.
Yeah. But I mean,
I can still get my ball to move. I can get my two seamer to run a lot more than I used to.
So let's just say if I put the ball in play twice against you, then I can probably put the ball in play once against the guy playing now. Is that fair?
Out of 100?
Yeah.
I'm going to say you could probably put it in play. Yes. But if you were facing after 100, you'd get used to the guy throwing to you. But if you were facing like 50 different pitchers and they all got to throw two pitches to you, no chance. Or even
what if it's just Aroldis Chapman throwing me 100 pitches? That's scary though, because his command's off.
Well, see, that's the thing, that everybody nowadays, they don't have command. They're not pitchers. They're a bunch of throwers. And Chapman's always been a thrower. That's why Chapman could be literally a Hall of Famer. He could have been a starter and filthy. And the Reds tried to do that and they realized, okay, we're just going to have to make him a reliever because, he's a thrower, not a pitcher.
Right.
Because, in Cuba, he was a starter. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That's the thing as a hitter. You have to, when a guy's a wild, that's why you call them effectively wild, because you get people out just because they're scared and shitless.
Right.
In the big leagues.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll have to put that to the test someday, because I'm really anxious to see if I can do that.
Oh, or maybe when you come out here, I totally have a field and I've got a batting cage in the backyard. We'll come throw to you.
Easy. Heath, another great episode in the books. Padres off to a hot start on the road trip. Let's close it out. Let's get at least 7 wins. Would love to see that happen. And keep the train rolling. Let's keep
high. Let's go Padres. I got a prediction. Gore is going to win still 15 games, even if they're going to send his ass down. And I got one more thing.
Yeah.
If the Padres don't make the playoffs, fire the GM. Last time I'll say that. It's probably a lie. I'll probably say it again.
I'll second that to you. With that being said, go Padres.
Go Pods.
This episode of Ring the Bell Pods Talk is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Go to BetOnline.ag today to get your free welcome bonus by using the promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV.